I would like to read some verses from the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 6. Approximately 50 minutes left, and I promised to divide the time, leave room for another speaker. Also, I should say that after I leave the desk, I'll have to leave as well, because I have another meeting tonight. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 6, and reading at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken to the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Now that will do for reading, and with the Lord's blessing. Most will know that the prophecy of Isaiah is possibly one of the most interesting prophecies in all our Bible. It is full of gospel truth and returned to it on many occasions for the preaching of the glorious gospel. I want to pass on a few comments regarding this dear man, Isaiah, himself, and apply them to all of us today who are here as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want first of all to look at a man with an experience that he never forgot. This dear man now writing says, it was in the year that King Uzziah died. A man with an experience never to be forgotten. Now, my dear brethren and sisters, is it not true this evening that here are you and I gathered together, and that all of us have had an experience that we are never going to forget? That is, at that time when awakened up by the Spirit of God, brought to realize our lost, ruined, and guilty condition in the sight of God, and when we were brought to a place, no hope that we should be saved, we thank God for that moment when our eyes were turned to the cross, and when by faith we got to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was a definite experience. It was not an everyday experience. It was something outstanding. The moment that we passed from death unto life, the moment that we were born into the family of God, I ever forget the joy of that blessed meeting place, that gift divine sent from on high, God's saving, wondrous grace. An experience never to be forgotten. Now I will be going over these points fairly quickly. The next one I want to mention is the experience that Isaiah had, and this is not Isaiah's conversion. But I do want us to see that we can liken it to our conversion today. I want us to see a man getting a look into heaven. And I want to call that his entrance into heaven. All will know that the Apostle Paul had an experience never to be forgotten. Also the Apostle John, writing in the Revelation, had an experience very similar. And here we are now with Isaiah the prophet getting an entrance into heaven. And I fear, dear brethren and sisters, that this is possibly something that we are not enjoying as much of as we really should. We are no longer belonging to the world. Earth's joys has lost its charms. And as a people of God, and as has already been stated, we are a wilderness people making our way home, but I trust that all of us think a little about heaven today. Now, what is it makes heaven so precious to the child of God? Well, first of all, we are assured of the fact the fire and the torment of hell our eyes will never see. That is all on the ground of the value and the worth and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let us think about heaven this evening, and I don't want to be occupied merely with the walls of jasper and the pearl-hung gates and the street of gold, and that is all very interesting. But I would like us to remember, dear brethren and sisters, that heaven is heaven because of the one who presently occupies a place in glory. He is God's beloved Son, the one who came down from heaven, the one who lived on earth, a man amongst men, the one who was despised and rejected, the one who went to the cross, and as we have been reminded from the words of the Apostle Paul, the Son of God, he loved me, and he gave himself for me, and this all took place at the cross. But how we rejoice today that our blessed Lord is no longer on the cross. He is no longer in the tomb. He occupies, where is he today? He has been raised from the dead, and our Bible assures us, received up into glory. And while you and I are here this afternoon, on the first day of 1996, let us remember that far beyond the bright blue sky, and far beyond the moon, and far beyond the stars, there is heaven with all its glory. We speak of the land of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and often its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? And I wonder, dear brethren and sisters, as we start out into another year, would it not help us all a little if we got a little more occupied with that land that is fairer than day? Now I know that I can bring this down today right into the present age. There likely never was a day when land around us was so valuable and men are so concerned about the prices being paid and so on. But let us as the saints of God and as the people of God remember that this world is a wilderness wide, but that you and I have got a home this evening far beyond the bright blue sky. It is heaven itself. And our Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, and that is what makes heaven as it is. And I leave that remark by passing the words of the poet, I will not gaze at glory, but on the King of grace, not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. That is, first of all, a man with an experience never to be forgotten. A man, my dear soul, with an entrance into heaven. The second, third thing I want us to see is this, the enlightenment that he got when he saw heaven with all its glory. What a moment it must have been when he saw and heard the seraphims cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And I just want to bring it right down to simple language tonight, or this evening, dear brethren and sisters. I wonder if you and I got a look into heaven. Now, says someone, that is not possible today. Well, I'm going to go a little further and say it would be, but it is subject to certain conditions, and that is this, that we're going to have to spend time alone in this book, and that our prayer is going to have to be, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You know, when I would be going to another country to visit it, there's one or two things I try to do. I try to get to know as much about the country as possible before I leave, and I try to find out about the people who are there. Now, dear saint of God, this evening, would it not do us all good if we got occupied with heaven today and got a little look into yonder celestial glory and think of the holiness associated with our God and with the presence of the Lord? Now, we have almost today in our generation lost the truth of holiness, but I mentioned in another meeting, and I repeat it again, and I said it also on Saturday night, that the Apostle Peter reminded the saints who were scattered abroad, who were suffering for the name of Christ, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And my dear brethren, God has saved you and I, dear sisters. He has brought us out of the masses of humanity. We have been bought by the precious blood of Christ. And you and I are expected as the people of God to be living as those that are heaven-born and heaven-bound, with a little understanding that in the presence of the Lord there is nothing but holiness itself. Let us do remember today that holiness and sin, they cannot abide together. And I would bring that into New Testament language. Is it not true that the Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy and instructed him how that he was to preach godly living and godliness in this present world? And I trust, dear saint of God, that we get a look into heaven and see there that in yonder celestial city, it is marked only by holiness and by the presence of God Himself and by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that I can preach more about heaven. I'm not going to get occupied with the angels. They have a responsibility before God. I'm not going to get occupied with patriarch saints that have trod the scenes before us. Let us remember that Abraham, as he traveled, that he looked for a city. His affections were set on things above. He was occupied with heaven. And I trust that this meeting this afternoon will encourage us all as a people of God to live looser to all of earth, to live looser to all that this world has got to offer, to get our mind attracted with heaven, and to get occupied with that city wherein we are going to be in that coming day. My dear brethren and sisters, an entrance into heaven, to have a look at heaven, the enlightenment he got. Have you and I got the enlightenment this evening? Are we understanding fully and appreciating fully what heaven is going to be like? I think that our language will surely be with that of the Queen of Sheba when she visited Solomon in all his glory and saw the setting of his servants and saw the might and the dignity associated with Solomon. Her language was, "The half hath not been told." My dear brethren and sisters, let us think about heaven and holiness. They go together. I want to come now to something more that he heard, and that is the expression of praise that he heard. And I should say that I not only apply this as individuals or the people of God, and I would like us to remember that to be in an assembly fellowship, all of us have had the great experience of salvation. All of us have had the great experience of being baptized, buried with Christ, onto the waters, and raised again to walk in newness of life. All of us have had the great experience of being received, or at least I trust all of us have had the great experience of being received into assembly fellowship. And I trust, dear brethren and sisters, that we value our place today in assembly fellowship, for it is the nearest place on earth to heaven. Someone has already quoted today But the psalmist had a love for the place where the honor of the Lord dwelt. And I trust that you and I, dear saint of God, as we make our way through, that we realize and have the assembly with which we are associated is the nearest place on earth to heaven, that it is marked by an experience, that it is marked not only by experience, but with an entrance into the assembly. There was a reception into the assembly, and how sad it is that there is also a putting away, but I don't want to get occupied with that today. I want now to come to this great expression of praise. What a moment it must have been in the experience of this dear man. When he heard the seraphim's cry, he has already seen the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filling the temple, and now he has the expression of praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and heaven is marked by praise to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Could I ask ourselves the question today, how much praise is on our lips as we make our way through life? Did not the psalmist write and say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for all his goodness, for all his wonderful works to the children of men? We take a look back at the children of Israel that we have already been reminded about. Remember, they're not too long left the land of Egypt until it's not praise that is leaving their lips. They are murmuring before God. Is it sadly possible that you and I today would have lost the expression of praise on our lips? I trust, dear saint of God, that as a result of this Bible reading that we have had the privilege of sitting in, and the ministry of the word that has already been given, and that which may follow, that all will lead out our hearts further in praise to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. That when we come together on a Lord's Day morning, that sitting down, we will come as it were, as the older brethren used to speak of it, coming with our baskets full, something to present to the man. And I trust that we rise one after the other, as guided by the Spirit of God, with an expression of praise and thanksgiving for all the person of our Lord Jesus Christ means to us. An expression of praise. Now I like to hear good singing. I'm not a singer myself, but at least I like to hear others who can sing. And I love to listen to the singing of saints when they are gathered together. And I cannot understand why saints have no interest in gathering together with the Lord's dear people in a little conference or in a big conference, it matters not. Why they haven't a joy in coming together to sing the songs of heaven. And why they don't have a joy in the reading of the Holy Scriptures and a joy in thanksgiving. My dear brethren, it is all associated with praise. And there's praise in yonder heaven and will be for all eternity's ages. Hasn't one of the hymn writers penned the words, when we have been there 10,000 years, we sang it the other afternoon around the open grave. When we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less to sing his praise than when we first began. An expression of praise in heaven. Praise in the assembly and amongst the people of God. But I maybe should put out a little note of warning. That if I'm murmuring for 6 days of the week, from Monday morning till Saturday night, about all the problems and all the difficulties that one is confronted with, I cannot expect to be in a great sense of praise then on the Lord's Day morning. It's not just a matter of switching on an electric button and turning things from carnality into spirituality. But I think if we are enjoying the Lord during the week, it will be manifested when we come together to remember him whom our souls adore. I have 5 minutes left. Following this experience that this dear man had, and I'm going over these points very quickly, I want us to see a man now taking a look at self. And I see a man with an examination of self. A dear saint of God this evening, What about an examination of ourselves? Not an examination of the preachers. Not an examination of the brethren. Not an examination of the assembly. Not spending all my time trying to find out all the faults and difficulties that are associated with the saints of God. But taking a look at ourselves. And what has he got to say? Woe's me, for I am undone. And I speak very kindly and very sincerely. The older I get, the more convinced I become that the apostle was right when he said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I feel many a time like the apostle Peter, depart from me, O Lord. I am a sinful man. A man with an examination of self. But I also see a man who is emptying himself out of all his own self. See, once we get an idea about ourselves that we have some importance, I want to tell you we're then losing out. There's not one of us anything today but what the grace of God has made us. And had it not been for the grace of God and our salvation, likely many of us today would have been lifting up our cries in the depths of hell. We sang recently in a meeting on a Lord's Day morning, and I enjoyed the words, preserved by Jesus' way, my feet made haste to hell. There should I have gone, but thou dost all things well. And this evening, dear brethren and sisters, I trust you all know that in our Bible reading it was mentioned about the disciples, who should be the greatest among them. I take up the words of the apostle today, and I trust that it is true of us all. There's not a one of us but have got to acknowledge that we are less than the least. This man had another great experience, and I want to call it the enjoyment of cleansing. When he confessed his sin and acknowledged what he was, I think of the live coal that was brought from off the altar. And it touched the lips of this dear man, and the message reached his heart. Lo, this hath touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. My dear brethren, there is a cleansing for us all today. And where is it to be found in? It's to be found in the value of the precious blood. If any man sin, now I'm not giving license for open sin, and all kinds of sin and all that kind of thing, that's not in my mind at all. But let us remember this, there's not a one of us but we are conscious of sin and failure in our experience. Let us remind our hearts, dear saint of God, there's cleansing for the people of God today. And where is it? Let's get back to the cross, back to Calvary, back to the precious blood. The live coal from off the altar touches the lip. Lo, this hath touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. The enjoyment of cleansing. Would our cry be this evening, as we leave in a short time, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I would like to get back to the former days when first I was saved, and when we sat in simplicity amongst the Lord's dear people. There was a joy that filled and flooded our soul, just to get back to those days. Well, it can happen. Lastly, I want us to see now a man who is fitted for service. That is, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I want us to see a man now in the enjoyment of service for his God. 1995 is left behind us now. Many opportunities have been lost. Much time has been spent idly. And the question might go right out now, why stand ye here all the day idly? I trust, dear saint of God, that as we enter into 1996, that all of us will endeavor, and I speak to my younger brethren and sisters, that we might have a greater exercise about service. Now that's my last little point. An exercise about service. to go out to serve the Lord, to live for God, and to be a testimony in the area where our lot is cast. May the Lord bless His word. May we take encouragement from Isaiah, and may all of us remember that we're going to a land that is fairer than day. And if the Lord should come and I didn't enter into that subject, we could be there much sooner than we expect. God bless His word.